Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Numbers 260 to 346. MR, Number 318, The Christian Pathway. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. God holds up before us as a high standard perfect obedience to his law. Only through obedience and faith in the Savior can we gain eternal life. Christ pitied the fallen race and gave his life for them, that, through his grace, they might be overcomers and at last enter the city of God. Should we not show our appreciation for the great sacrifice made in our behalf? Should not our hearts be filled with gratitude to God for the gift of his Son? Should not the love shown for us awaken in us an earnest desire to bring our lives into conformity to the will of God? Christ came to this earth because the law was so sacred and so immutable that not one jot or tittle of it could be changed to meet man in his fallen condition. Christ clothed his divinity with humanity, and by his death made it possible for man to be restored to the favor that Adam lost. It is our duty to search the Scriptures, and from them learn our duty. My brethren and sisters, go to the Bible, and from it learn God's will concerning you. If you rely upon human beings for instruction, you may be misled in regard to your duty. Let us not hold the doctrines of men, but the truths of God's Word. We must not think that by walking in the path of obedience we shall escape trials, for the enemy will do all in his power to hinder us from gaining heaven. But the Savior has promised to help us. Have you trials? So had Jesus. Are you tempted? So was he, in all points like as we are. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When Christ was upon this earth, the people flocked to hear him. So simple and plain were his words that the most unlearned among the people could understand him, and his hearers listened as if spellbound. This enraged the scribes and Pharisees. They were filled with envy because the people listened so attentively to the words of this new teacher. They determined to break his hold upon the multitudes. They began by attacking his character, saying that he was born in sin, and that he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. Thus were fulfilled the words, "They hated me without a cause." The Jewish leaders magnified and persecuted the one who is chiefest among 10,000s and altogether lovely. As we separate from the world and its customs, we shall meet with the displeasure of worldlings. The world hated the one who was the very embodiment of virtue, because he was better than they were. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If our ways please God, the world will hate us. If the majesty of heaven came to this world and endured a life of humiliation and a death of shame, why should we shrink back because obedience involves a cross? If he was persecuted, can we expect better treatment? Christ laid the truth before the Jewish people and called them to obedience. If they had accepted his counsel, they would not have cherished hatred in their hearts. But Christ declared, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." It is not enough to profess the religion of Christ. This religion must be lived. All sin is to be put away, and the law of God is to be obeyed. The truth must be given the first place in the life. Christ represents the truth as leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The truth is to continue to work in the life until the whole character is transformed. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. A casual reading of the scriptures will not answer. The Bible must be closely and diligently searched. As we make this book the man of our counsel, our hearts will be filled with love for the Heavenly Father who, through the ministration of angels, is ever watching over us. Could our eyes be opened, we should see heavenly messengers guarding and keeping us from the attacks of evil angels and protecting us from harm and accident. I point you to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He will comfort and sustain all who come to him for help. Our Savior did not remain in the tomb. He rose from the dead and is now making intercession for us. He wants to take the garments of sin from those who desire a better world than this and clothe them with the robes of his righteousness. He is a living, all-powerful Savior, and we ought to have unwavering faith in him. For he says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Let us seek a close connection with Christ, for thus only can we grow in grace and in a knowledge of the truth. An eternal weight of glory and a life that measures with the life of God await the overcomer. Our minds should be constantly dwelling on the goodness of God and the future home of the saints, and we should ever be striving for perfection of character, that at last we may be given entrance into the city of God. Outside the city there will be those who love and make a lie, and with them there will be those who have distrusted God. How important, then, that we have the love of Christ in our hearts and cherish constantly the Spirit that will lead us to obey our Creator. Let us take our stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Those who at the coming of Christ are standing under the black banner of rebellion cannot enter into immortal life. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. When you are tried and tempted, remember that Jesus is your helper. He will give you grace to resist every temptation if you will strive to walk in harmony with the precepts of God. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Those who walk in obedience will know what truth is. But the heart that is separated from the truth has no relish for sacred things, because the truth condemns that which it holds dear. Christ says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." In order to know the truth, we must be willing to obey. Those whose affections are placed on the world are not willing to give up their plans for the plans of Christ. They walk in darkness, not knowing whither they go. The precious light of truth flashes upon the pathway of everyone who seeks for it. But iniquity abounds, and for this reason, the love of many waxes cold. Those who would be successful in fighting the battles of the Lord must have on the whole armor. They must hold up before the world the one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come to him. They must put away sin, for this God hates. What is sin? John defines it in these words, "Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Obedience to the law is the standard held up before us. There is no reason why we should be transgressors. We may be Christians in every sense of the word. By constant prayer we are to bring Christ into our lives. From him we are to receive the grace that will enable us to overcome. Only by receiving this grace can we go on from strength to strength and gain a fitness for eternal life. We shall have conflicts and temptations to meet, and we are to meet them in the Spirit of Christ. The Savior says, "My grace is sufficient." We shall be known by the fruit that appears in our lives. A pure fountain will not send forth an impure stream, neither will a true Christian utter words of abuse or enter into contention with those around him. When we set our hearts on God, we shall have a constant battle to fight, for we have the enemy of all righteousness to contend with. In every conceivable way, he will seek to discourage us and cast us down. The world stands opposed to Christ and his work. But those who are striving to do the will of God have this consolation. They are united with the highest authorities of heaven. Trusting in Christ and advancing step by step, the children of God will gain the victory. If we desire a place in the world to come, we must bring our will into subjection to the will of God. We must follow the light that shines upon our pathway. To go contrary to this light is to walk away from Christ. It should be our highest aim in life to get ready for heaven. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, but of a lifetime. The sinner must repent of his sin and come to Jesus for pardon. The promise is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Many are deceived on this point. Their minds are confused, and they do not know what sin is. But they can know by studying the Word of God. There is a higher standard for us to reach than we have yet reached. We must be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Paul says, I have not ceased to warn you from house to house. Why did he do this? Because the law was transgressed. He himself, when he saw his true condition, exercised repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let no one think that while he is living in transgression, he will be allowed to enter the gates of the holy city. Those who, when Christ comes, are in rebellion against God will not be admitted to the courts above. No rebel will enter heaven. Daily, we are to be preparing for the kingdom of glory. God's standard is to test our character. If we endure the test, we shall be given a place among the redeemed. We must bring heaven into our hearts, into the daily life. Christ is an all-powerful helper, and those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but will understand the thoughts of heaven. They will understand the voice of the true shepherd, and will walk in obedience. We must search the scriptures for ourselves. As we search them as for hidden treasure, the truths that we find will give us strength to stand in the day of God. God holds us responsible for those around us. There are sinners to save, souls to be won. Shall we allow iniquity to separate us from Christ, from the work that he has given us? Let each one of us say, I will not disappoint the Savior. He shall not have died for me in vain. I want to praise him through all eternity. I must have heaven at any cost. Would you see the King in his beauty? Would you stand around the great white throne? Then you must obey God's commandments, because none will enter heaven who refuse to accept the law of Jehovah as the rule of life. 31. 1886, 1-4. Sermon, Giving Up Our Will for God's Will, November 7, 1886. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John 10, verse 27 to 30. Here Christ has said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We have the fact presented that no one could pluck them out of his hand. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Matthew 7, verse 24, 25. Now it is very important that we should search the Scriptures ourselves, for we are enjoined to give a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. What saith the Scriptures? for they are our chart and guide to heaven. It is not safe for us to follow any man unless his word is in harmony with the Scriptures. What saith our Redeemer? For we want to know what to do. The answer comes to walk in the light as it is unfolded to us. Our Savior has made an infinite sacrifice for us, that we may regain that which was lost by Adam. Christ offered himself a substitute for man. He left his happy position in heaven and laid off his royal robes, his crown, and dignity, and for our sakes became poor. He did not come to mingle with the great or to appear in splendor, but he associated himself with the poor to lift them up from their low estate. And for all this love, he was despised and rejected of men. He says, "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" Isaiah 5, verse 4. He has set us an example in order that we may know how to walk in conformity with his will. Christ is a true shepherd. His example, if followed, will lead us aright. How precious was his gentle spirit! He was meek and lowly in heart. No jealousy, no envy, no iniquity was found in him. He passed over the same ground where Adam fell, thus showing us that it is possible for man to overcome. Those who follow Christ will be obedient. They will not trample on one of God's holy precepts. It is very important to know whom we are following. There are precious victories for us to gain. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. But how apt men are to shrink from the reproach that the truth will bring, and then be led to disobey the requirements of God. There have been those in the past who have suffered for the truth's sake. It was to them dearer than life, and men lost their lives to gain eternal life. It will not be surprising if we have to suffer, if we are tried. When these trials come, it may be on account of temporal things, but we must not allow the things of this life to govern us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. If we are sanctified through the truth, then we shall let nothing come between us and our duty to God. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. There are many who exchange their souls for this life. But what is a man profited if he should gain this world? For he cannot have this world and the one to come. When the Son of Man comes from heaven with all his glory, he will then reward every man according to his works. Here we are appointed to the future life. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Paul says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. We want to think of the future home, where there is no disappointment, no sin, no enemy, no outburst of passion. And all of this will be realized by those who will follow the true shepherd and obey the commandments of God. Although Satan is at war with the followers of Christ, the true shepherd will not allow anyone to pluck them out of his hand. Every soul that comes in sincerity will find help. Our Heavenly Father tells us to ask, and if we ask, we shall receive. He knows that we are deformed by sin. He knows our weakness. He knows that Satan is striving to control the passions of men, and he has sent Christ to break every yoke, to set before man an example, and it is for us to copy the perfect pattern, for heaven is worth everything. Wherever we look, we see deformity caused by sin, and we all need a Savior, one who will save to the uttermost. But we must do our part to work out our own salvation. I am so glad that I have a Savior, one who can help me. God did not send angels to this world to save man, but his own Son, who suffered and was tempted on all points like as we are, and he knows how to succor all that are tempted and tried. This is done that we may have salvation. What more could have been done than has been done? This should evidence to us that God has great love for the human race. Therefore, in return, He demands obedience from our hands. The young man came to Christ and asked, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" The answer was, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Matthew 19, verse 16-17. The same answer was given to the lawyer, and the lawyer told him that the law told him to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Christ said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Luke 10, verse 27-28. So you have the whole duty laid down, and that is to keep the commandments if you expect to have eternal life. What was lost through Adam by disobedience must be brought back by obedience. You may ask, what is the value of one soul? I will point you to Calvary. The precious Savior placed an estimate upon man, and he became poor that we may be elevated. With his divine arm he came to lift us up, and this was done by the sacrifice of his own life. He knew that man could not overcome in his own strength, and he left the courts of heaven that we might be reconciled to the Father. Oh, what matchless love! Well may John exclaim, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 3, verse 1. It is sin that caused this great sacrifice to be made, and now God claims from us loyalty, and to walk in the light of his perfect rule and standard, in order that we might be brought back to our Eden home. Christ is the true shepherd and leader, and if we do not follow him by doing as he did, then we are none of his. We want heaven and its joy. We want to put away sin, and it is our privilege to ask, what is sin? The Bible gives the definition, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." 1 John 3, verse 4. The law of God is the rule of our life, and by it our characters will be measured. It is the work of Satan to keep you from forming a right character that will meet the perfect standard. I desire that you should have a heaven of bliss, and the great gift will be bestowed on those that obey. Our precious Savior has provided everything for us, and we should remember Jesus and follow him. How does Christ look upon those who claim to be his followers, who are engaged in strife and contention? He wants us to be like him. We must become acquainted with our Savior and grow up step by step, and thus attain to immortal life. What efforts would men put forth to honor a worldly emperor or king? If they were going to appear before such, they would make every preparation to appear before him aright. Then how particular we should be who are expecting to meet the King of Kings. The command is, "Come out from among them, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18. What greater honor could be conferred upon mortal man? This life is filled with anguish and sorrow, but the promise is eternal life, a life without sorrow. This is a precious boon, and how earnest we should be to enter heaven. God has given us a moral standard, and we need not make any mistake, for the rule is laid down, and it is here that we must fit up for eternal life. And it is only through obedience that we obtain it. But we have this to encourage us, that Jesus knows our weakness, and he will assist us to gain heaven. And we must believe the truth, and remember that we are taken into the workshop to be fitted to join the heavenly family and to connect with the heavenly choir. Then let all sin be put away, and let us bring heaven into our lives. If we let Christ rule in our hearts, we shall have heaven below, and thus be fitted up for a heaven above. Oh, what matchless charm there is in Jesus! And to dwell with him and stand around his throne, having all the stains of sin washed away in the blood of Christ, to dwell with him forever and ever, is surely worth striving for. Angels will attend us here, and help us to walk aright, and keep us from the evil. We need to love one another as Christ loved us, and be a blessing to all around us. Christ has told us that if we are followers of Him, He will lead us to the fountains of living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Revelation 7, verse 16. I have chosen Christ as my portion, and I want to share with Him in His sufferings and be a partaker with Him in His joy. If we remain close to our Redeemer, He has promised that no one shall pluck us out of His hand. I present to you eternal life. Will you have it? If so, here is the condition and blessing. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. May God help you to enter, is my prayer. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Here is presented before us the fact that they that love God will keep His commandments. The Spirit of truth the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. It should not be surprising to those who keep the commandments of God if they should meet the opposition of the world. The Word tells us to be separated from the disobedient. This will cause a feeling of opposition to arise with those who have a hatred toward the precepts of their Creator. But we cannot afford to be disloyal to God for the friendship of the world. The truth is worldwide, and if we have a knowledge of it, we must not let those who are in darkness lead us from it. We want to be loved by heaven, and we have evidence of that love when we look at Calvary. Now it is our duty to love God in return, and we can manifest that love by keeping His sayings. Jesus says that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying." John 6, verse 56, 60. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Verses 66 to 68. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." John 7, verse 15 to 17. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood." How can we explain the meaning of these words? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6, verse 63. So we see the eating of the flesh and drinking the blood is in obeying His word. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." John 14, verse 21. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." John 15, verse 10. Now we want to be in harmony with our Redeemer, and if we are, that is evidence that we keep His sayings. The souls of men are of the highest value, and it is our duty to know that we are in harmony with God. We need to cultivate faith in God and His Word. After the resurrection, the disciples went forth to proclaim to men that Christ had risen, but there were influences that opposed them. The Sadducees were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands upon them and put them in hold. Now, had the disciples committed an error in preaching that Christ had risen from the dead? Shall we say that the Sadducees were right and that the disciples were wrong? No, it could not be truthfully said, for they were giving truth for that time, but it did not please the people. On the morrow, the high priest and rulers and elders came together at Jerusalem. There was to be a trial of this matter, and the question was asked, "By what name have ye done this?" The disciples had wrought a miracle in their midst by healing the impotent man. They boldly declared before the council that this miracle was done through Jesus of Nazareth, and they said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they have been with Jesus. Acts 4, verse 11, 13. Now we see that here is a people moved by the Holy Ghost. God had given Peter and John a message to give to the people, and it was their, the people's, privilege to accept, but they would not. We can see by the position taken by these professed people of God that they were arrayed against the truth. They said, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verses 16, 17. But the apostles Peter and John had a truth to present, and they would not be stilled by these wicked counselors. They answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Verse 19. So we see that it is important to prize what the Lord says and be persistent in declaring the truth, whether it is pleasing or not. If we have a desire to know truth, God will open our hearts to receive it. And it is not safe to resist conviction because of opposition. It is for us to accept the light. These disciples of Christ continued to teach. Then the captain with the officers came upon them with violence, and the only reason given is because they were turning the attention of the people away from the rulers to the gospel of Christ. The Lord would have us look to Him and cry for His Holy Spirit, for there are souls to save. We need not only work out our own salvation, but it is our duty to assist others to become acquainted with God. This should be done with fear and trembling. We should accept the Word of God and have His love in our hearts. Christ says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." John 14, verse 15. If we have the love of God in our hearts, we shall be happy. We may be poor in this world, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We want to be rich in faith. This will require diligence in the study of God's Word. Thus, we shall become wise. The rabbis were astonished as they heard from the lips of the disciples the great wisdom that they possessed, knowing that they had not been formally educated. It was by searching out the hidden treasures of the Lord that they had obtained this knowledge. Even so we, if we search the Scriptures with a desire to understand them, shall know of the doctrine. Allow no man to hinder you in gaining an understanding of the truth and in keeping the commandments of God. There have been disciples in all ages who did comply with the requirements of God. For so doing, they got into trouble, and so it will be in this age. If you find trouble because of your faith, go to Christ. In Him there is help. I decided when the Sabbath was made known to me that I must obey. We have known what it is to suffer hunger, but we would bow before God and ask for His blessing. We knew that we could not be saved in error as long as the Bible was before us, for it is a plain command that we should search the Scriptures. We must not stop to inquire of others what our duty is. The Word of God is sufficient. If it tells us to keep the commandments, it is our duty to obey at any cost. I remember when we could not get together any more Sabbath keepers than are present here today, but we loved Jesus, and we knew that the angels were in our midst, and we had strength and support against the opposition that was raised against us. We had the assurance that God would be with us. We did not know but that we should be thrust into prison because we kept the commandments of God. We were admonished not to teach the doctrines of the soon coming of Christ and the commandments, but we stated that we had to declare the truth. Windows have been broken because our prayers were heard, but God had a care for us. Officers came to our assistance, and those who wished to see us punished were themselves threatened. God gave us favor. We must not question whether we shall have trials. It is always best to be on the Lord's side. More than one scandal has followed me. Should this drive me away from Jesus because I was a partaker with his suffering? We are commanded to take up the cross and follow him. He suffered reproach that we might be saved from death. Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And if we comply, it is an evidence that we love him. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. Released March 7th, 1973.